Chapter 56. He thought it hardly worth while to call at the shop for his provisions at that hour, Don and his daughter being probably not up if they caroused late the night before. However, he found in passing that the door was open, and he could hear voices within, though the shutters of the meat stall were not down. He went and tapped at the sitting room door, and opened it. "Well, to be sure," he said, astonished. Hosts and guests were sitting card playing, smoking, and talking, precisely as he had left them 11 hours earlier. The gas was burning, and the curtains drawn, though it had been broad daylight for 2 hours out of doors. "Yes," cried Arabella, laughing. "Here we are, just the same. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves, oughtn't we? But it is a sort of housewarming, you see, and our friends are in no hurry. Come in, Mr. Taylor, and sit down." The tinker, or rather reduced ironmonger, was nothing loath, and entered and took a seat. "She'll lose a quarter, but never mind," he said. "Well, really, I could hardly believe my eyes when I looked in. It seemed as if I was flung back again into last night, all of a sudden." "So you are. Pour out for Mr. Taylor." He now perceived that she was sitting beside Jude, her arm being round his waist. Jude, like the rest of the company, bore on his face the signs of how deeply he had been indulging. "Well, we've been waiting for certain legal hours to arrive, to tell the truth," she continued bashfully, and making her spirituous crimson look as much like a maiden blush as possible. "Jude and I have decided to make up matters between us by tying the knot again, as we find we can't do without one another after all. So, as a bright notion, we agreed to sit until it was late enough and go and do it offhand." Jude seemed to pay no great heed to what she was announcing, or indeed to anything whatever. The entrance of Taylor infused fresh spirit into the company, and they remained sitting till Arabella whispered to her father, "Ah, we may as well go." "But the parson don't know?" "Yes, I told him last night that we might come between 8 and 9, as there were reasons of decency for doing it as early and quiet as possible, on account of it being our second marriage, which might make people curious to look on if they knew." He highly approved. "Oh, very well. I'm ready," said her father, getting up and shaking himself. "Now, old darling," she said to Jude, "home along, as you promised." "When did I promise anything?" asked he, whom mess he had made so tipsy by her special knowledge of that line of business as almost to have made him sober again, or to seem so to those who did not know him. "Why," said Arabella, affecting dismay, "you have promised to marry me several times as we've sat here tonight. These gentlemen have heard you." "I don't remember it," said Jude doggedly. "Here's only one woman, but I won't mention her in this Capharnaum." Arabella looked towards her father. "Ow, Mr. Folly be honorable," said Don. "You and my daughter have been living here together these 3 or 4 days, quite on the understanding that you were going to marry her. Of course I shouldn't have had such goings on in my house if I hadn't understood that. As a point of honor you must do it now." "Don't say anything against my honor," enjoined Jude hotly, standing up. "I'd marry the W of Babylon rather than do anything dishonorable. No reflection on you, my dear. It is a mere rhetorical figure, what they call in the books, hyperbole." "Keep your figures for your debts to friends who shelter you," said Don. "If I am bound in honor to marry her as I suppose I am, though, how I came to be here with her, I know no more than a dead man marry her I will, so help me God. I have never behaved dishonorably to a woman, or to any living thing. I am not a man who wants to save himself at the expense of the weaker among us." "There, never mind him, dearie," said she, putting her cheek against Jude's. "Come up and wash your face, and just put yourself tidy, and off we'll go. Make it up with father." They shook hands. Jude went upstairs with her, and soon came down looking tidy and calm. Arabella, too, had hastily arranged herself, and accompanied by Don away they went. Don't go, she said to the guests at parting. I've told the little maid to get the breakfast while we are gone, and when we come back we'll all have some. A good strong cup of tea will set everybody right for going home. When Arabella, Jude, and Donna disappeared on their matrimonial errand, the assembled guests yawned themselves wider awake and discussed the situation with great interest. Tinker Taylor, being the most sober, reasoned the most lucidly. I don't wish to speak against friends, he said. But it do seem a rare curiosity for a couple to marry over again. If they couldn't get on the first time, when their minds were limp, they won't the second, by my reckoning. Do you think he'll do it? He's been put upon his honor by the woman, so he med. He'd hardly do it straight off like this. He's got no license nor anything. She's got that, bless you. Didn't you hear her say so to her father? Well, said Tinker Taylor, relighting his pipe at the gas jet. Tea take her altogether, limb by limb, she's not such a bad-looking piece particular by candlelight. To be sure, halfpence that have been in circulation can't be expected to look like new ones from the mint. But for a woman that's been knocking about the four hemispheres for some time, she's passable enough. A little bit thick in the flitch perhaps. But I like a woman that a puff o' wind won't blow down. Their eyes followed the movements of the little girl as she spread the breakfast cloth on the table they had been using, without wiping up the slops of the liquor. The curtains were undrawn, and the expression of the house made to look like mourning. Some of the guests, however, fell asleep in their chairs. One or two went to the door, and gazed along the street more than once. Tinker Taylor was the chief of these, and after a time he came in with a leer on his face. By gad, they are coming. I think the deed's done. No, said Uncle Joe, following him in. Ache my word, he turned rusty at the last minute. They are walking in a very unusual way, and that's the meaning of it. They waited in silence till the wedding party could be heard entering the house. First into the room came Arabella boisterously, and her face was enough to show that her strategy had succeeded. Mrs. Folly, I presume? Said Tinker Taylor with mock courtesy. Certainly. Mrs. Folly again, replied Arabella blandly, pulling off her glove and holding out her left hand. There's the padlock, see? Well, he was a very nice gentlemanly man indeed. I mean the clergyman. He said to me as gentle as a babe when all was done. Apostrophe Mrs. Folly, I congratulate you heartily, apostrophe he says. For having heard your history, and that of your husband, I think you have both done the right and proper thing. And for your past errors as a wife, and his as a husband, I think you ought now to be forgiven by the world, as you have forgiven each other, apostrophe says he. Yes. He was a very nice gentlemanly man. The church don't recognize divorce in her dogma, strictly speaking, apostrophe he says. And bear in mind the words of the service in your goings out and your comings in. What God hath joined together let no man put asunder. Apostrophe apostrophe yes. He was a very nice gentlemanly man. But, Jude, my dear, you were enough to make a cat laugh. You walked that straight, and held yourself that steady, that one would have thought you were going prentice to a judge, though I knew you were seeing double all the time, from the way you fumbled with my finger. I said I'd do anything to save a woman's honor, muttered Jude. And I've done it. Well now, old dearie, come along and have some breakfast. I want some more whiskey, said Jude stolidly. Nonsense, dear. Not now. There's no more left. The tea will take the muddle out of our heads, and we shall be as fresh as larks. All right. I've married you. She said I ought to marry you again, and I have straightway. It is true religion. Ha ha ha. Via, Michaelmas came and passed, and Jude and his wife, who had lived but a short time in her father's house after their remarriage, were in lodgings on the top floor of a dwelling nearer to the center of the city. He had done a few days' work during the 2 or 3 months since the event, but his health had been indifferent, and it was now precarious. precarious. He was sitting in an armchair before the fire, and coughed a good deal. I've got a bargain for my trouble in marrying thee over again, Arabella was saying to him. She'll have to keep me entirely, that's what 'twill come to. I shall have to make black pot and sausages, and hawk 'em about the street, all to support an invalid husband I'd no business to be saddled with at all. Why didn't you keep your health, deceiving one like this? You were well enough when the wedding was. Ah, yes, said he, laughing acridly. Have been thinking of my foolish feeling about the pig you and I killed during our first marriage. I feel now that the greatest mercy that could be vouchsafed to me would be that something should serve me as I served that animal. This was the sort of discourse that went on between them every day now. The landlord of the lodging, who had heard that they were a queer couple, had doubted if they were married at all, especially as he had seen Arabella kiss Jude one evening, when he had taken a little cordial, and he was about to give them notice to quit, till by chance overhearing her one night haranguing Jude in rattling terms, and ultimately flinging a shoe at his head, he recognized the note of genuine wedlock, and concluding that they must be respectable, said no more. Jude did not get any better, and one day he requested Arabella, with considerable hesitation, to execute a commission for him. She asked him indifferently what it was. To write to Sue. What in the name do you want me to write to her for? To ask how she is, and if she'll come to see me, because I'm ill, and should like to see her once again. It is like you to insult a lawful wife by asking such a thing. It is just in order not to insult you, that I ask you to do it. You know I love Sue. I don't wish to mince the matter, there stands the fact. I love her. I could find a dozen ways of sending a letter to her without your knowledge. But I wish to be quite above board with you, and with her husband. A message through you asking her to come is at least free from any odor of intrigue. If she retains any of her old nature at all, she'll come. You've no respect for marriage whatever, or its rights and duties. What does it matter what my opinions are, a wretch like me? Can it matter to anybody in the world who comes to see me for half an hour here with one foot in the grave? Come, please write, Arabella, he pleaded. Epay my candor by a little generosity. I should think not. Not just once. Oh, do. He felt that his physical weakness had taken away all his dignity. What do you want her to know how you are for? She don't want to see E. She's the rat that forsook the sinking ship. Don't. And I stuck to un the more fool I. Have that strumpet in the house indeed. Almost as soon as the words were spoken, Jude sprang from the chair, and before Arabella knew where she was, he had her on her back upon the little couch which stood there, he kneeling above her. Say another word of that sort, he whispered, and I'll kill you here and now. I've everything to gain by it, my own death not being the least part. So don't think there's no meaning in what I say. What do you want me to do? Gasped Arabella. Promise never to speak of her. Very well. I do. I take your word, he said scornfully as he loosened her. But what it is worth I can't say. You couldn't kill the pig, but you could kill me. Ah, there you have me. No, I couldn't kill you even in a passion. Taunt away. He then began coughing very much, and she estimated his life with an appraiser's eye as he sank back ghastly pale. I'll send for her, Arabella murmured, if you'll agree to my being in the room with you all the time she's here. The softer side of his nature, the desire to see Sue, made him unable to resist the offer even now, provoked as he had been, and he replied breathlessly. Yes, I agree. Only send for her. In the evening he inquired, if he had written. Yes, she said. I wrote a note telling her you were ill, and asking her to come tomorrow, or the day after. I haven't posted it yet. The next day Jude wondered if she really did post it, but would not ask her, and foolish hope, that lives on a drop and a crumb, made him restless with expectation. He knew the times of the possible trains, and listened on Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.